about to that mystical.
Nah, this nigga's not coming out the mystical.
What? Do I have the floor? Do I?
Yes, do you do.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you do.
I ain't got no tail, girl.
Oh, you're supposed to be listening to us. Whether I'm in your ward or not, if you're sitting on that board, you're supposed to listen to everything going on. But you're playing on your phone.
No, I'm not playing on my phone. I'm taking care of business. I'm not studying what you're talking about. Okay, then don't attack me.
Point of order. I'm sorry. Councilman Mays, your mic is, your breathing is. No, that's Councilman Mays' mic.
No, it ain't.
Hey, give me my theme music.
When they
no, that nigga is a comedic genius because he's not even trying to be funny. If y'all don't know, my man Eric Mays got a highlight reel on the internet of all of his funny moments, and it's about 7 different compilations where they just doing top fives 7 different times for Eric Mays. He deserves his flowers. We got to keep him in office, and he's doing the Lord's work out there, folks. he's doing the real work.
Oh man, RIP to Eric Mays. He passed away, man.
Oh shit, RIP, man. I didn't even know.
Passed away last, I think, February 2024. But he's on the board for almost, I want to say, like 30 some plus years in Flint. So he's been there. He's a staple in that community. So, shout out to Eric Mays.
Shout him out. It's getting hot outside. So, you know, we got to get some words of wisdom about how people was carrying on.
A girl go out with her friends. She done twerked the 5 different songs and 5 different stories. Sit your stupid thick ass down. Mrs. I don't even be doing all that with a liar. You a liar. Circle of hoes. Hey. Oh, so I guess you just a head hoe in charge. I guess you just a line leader for the can't stay awake for 1 full episode of nothing, but you the energizer, honey, outside, right? You miss can't stop, won't stop when you get outside.
Nah, being an energizer, honey, is crazy.
It's deep, bro.
But deep. I like that, though. I like it when your girl go out. I like it when she go out. And you can just see the ratchet stories, and she's probably dancing in the middle of the circle, or she's the loudest one, and you hear her. Like, you can tell Shorty don't get out much. When every time she goes out, she's celebrating like it's her first day out or some shit. Now bring your homebody ass back home, and you can go out again next month. Like once a month. Man, I think that's fair. Let your shorty go out once a month, WAP.
You know my answer.
WAP got shorty on house arrest. She got the anklet on.
No, I mean, like, we can, bro, like, that. I don't understand why women need to feel that. Why you just can't shake that ass in front of me? Like, why do you need to shake that ass with your girls?
That pendulum swing both ways, brother.
What you mean?
If she can't go outside and shake ass, then you can't go out and see ass. WAP, you can't go to the strippy.
I was going to say, because, yeah, I don't, though. Like, I don't feel the reason to go to the strip club unless, like, for real, one of the homies' birthday or some shit like that. Yeah, hey, that's what they on. Cool. But even then, like, I've never been a nigga, like, been in love with strip clubs like that anyway. Like, so it's never, you know what I'm saying, been a thing for me. No way.
Oh, I'm a go to the strippy.
I mean, I'm not knocking nobody who do though. You feel me? It's just never been a thing for me. Like, I've been, don't get me wrong, I've definitely been, but it's just never been like, oh yeah. Like, especially in Chicago, I guess, because it's not like a real strong strip club scene out here.
Yeah, y'all ain't got no baddies in Chicago.
No, I'm not gonna say that.
you ain't got no baddies out there. They from the Robert Taylor Homes. They can't shake ass like that.
That is not true. Like it's some decent strip clubs out here. The problem is it's just not a real strip club scene. The strip club still be just, you know what I'm saying, like
shorties from Gary, Indiana that migrated to Illinois.
Yeah, man, you've been to like known the street, but I went to school with some of their ass. Anything like it's like for me, I probably want to go to strip clubs like in the cities that I hit a cracking in, Atlanta, Houston, Miami, shit like that, right? Oh, that's where I hit a strip club.
The Atlanta joints?
So, like, Chicago just ain't really it for the strip clubs, but they decent or whatever. And I'm just saying, like, in a relationship, I don't think that's some shit you just supposed to be going to. Like, that's stating the obvious to me. I don't want to be that blatant in no relationship. Like, yeah, you know what I'm on. I'm in there. Like, no, I ain't looking at no ass. I'm just in there. I'm in there. You know, I'm looking at some ass. Like,
I'm spending less money in a relationship. I'm still gonna go. I'll just spend a respectful amount of money, and I'm not gonna suck on titties in the private room. Like, I'm probably not gonna suck on titties in the private room anyway. Because how many niggas are sucking on your titties today? why your nipple tastes like Black and Miles? Like, what's the what's going on, baby?
Freak ass.
I might spend $500 instead of a stack. I'll spend a respectful $250, $500 like that, and then I'll go home, and you know, that'll be it.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that. That's what I'm saying. Like, but I'm also saying, like, it's still like I probably wouldn't even, knowing me, I probably ain't gonna tell my bitch we went to the strip club, like type shit.
Nah, the glitter gonna tell on you. The glitter, the body butter, whatever these young ladies is putting on their body, as soon as they give you a lap dance, now it's a part of you.
And
you come home smelling like Japanese blossom.
But when you, like, if you come home, like, more than likely, like, I know, like, more than likely, my bitch probably either sleep. I'm going to bend to take that. I'm coming in to take that shower if I don't went to the strip club type shit. Like, that's the reality. Like,
I'm sleeping in it. And that might be dangerous.
That is definitely dangerous.
That might be dangerous, but I'm sleeping in it.
I'm not sleeping in it.
Because I feel like going out and coming home and taking a shower, even if it's innocent, like, yo, I was fucking... We was in the techno club. I was dancing to techno music for 3 hours straight. I'm sweaty. I smell like Shaq in Game 7, like overtime.
I just don't see the purpose of it if you got a bitch though, right? Like, here my thing is, so you got a bitch, you gonna go to the strip club, you more than likely gonna get a dance or two, cool. You gonna get aroused, for sure.
For sure.
You're gonna go home and probably gonna fuck your bitch. Like, you gonna have to take a shower.
In the morning.
No, tonight.
In the morning.
I'm not finna do that because I already know, like, she gonna be like, you can fake get the, you know what I'm saying, the side, you feel me? Be Dooney's down from the side or whatever. You miking. Cause she more than likely, bro, your woman gonna be, you know how women is. They mad. They fake mad. Even if they ain't all the way mad, they fake mad.
Well, they mad cause you went out without them.
Yeah.
And you had fun without them. And like, yeah. you came home and you was like, she could feel your happiness hearing you rumble through the cabinets in the kitchen. Cause you came home and you was like, oh yeah, I need to get something to eat. You warming up a plate or whatever. She heard the happiness. When that microwave alarm went off, she was like, oh, this nigga's happy. Like, but I like a drunk partner. Like, if she go to a brunch and come home day drunk, oh my God, it's so lit. Now it's trash dealing when you got to babysit your partner and they drunk. And you not, that's annoying as fuck. Yeah, but when they come home and they about that business, when she come home drunk off the mimosas, off the bottomless mimosas, and she been texting you the whole time she was out. When I come home, I'm gonna ride that dick for 10 minutes straight on my toes, and I'm ready. I done took the gas station dick pill, the honey pack. I got a Red Bull and vodka. I'm ready. My heart's about to explode out of my chest. And when she come home and she bout that action, it's peace. When she come home and no, she ain't even come home. When she's out and I get that call from her friend that she throwing up and now I gotta come. And now I gotta come get that little sick motherfucker. Oh God. Why you can't go out be responsible with your friends? You drinking in excess? Because you don't never let her out the house. That's why. You don't never let her out the house. So the first time she get out the house, she wilding out. She hollering, where the niggas with Hellcats? Where the niggas with Hellcats? That's your queen.
Nah.
You don't drive a Hellcat. You drive a Honda and shit. Fucking Accord. Why I'm going to disown you, bitch, bro? I ain't going to hold you.
I don't even know you. like I'm serious, bro. Like, that's my problem. I see it now. I understand it. I get it. I see it. I'm not mad at these ladies. I understand it. But it's just they want you to feel sorry for them, and I will never feel sorry for women. Like unless something's truly bad happened to them for real. Women are funny. Like, they're just hilarious. They're victims. They're victims to themselves. Like, it's the craziest shit I've figured out in my life. Like,
nah, you know who the victim is? Well, Shorty tried to play victim, but I don't think she's the real victim here. So my man, he was the CFO of Detroit Riverfront. He gave his girl $3.7 million cash. And he got charged for embezzling $40 million. He told Shorty, this may be the last gift I can give you. I love you. Hold me down. And he's about to get, he's looking at 20 to 40 years. And he's not a young man. Like, he gonna die in jail. But he gave her 3.7 cash. She was on the news crying. that niggas told her she can't keep the cash. They was like, yo, we need a receipt. We need to be able to trace this money. Like, cause we think it's part of the 40 mil that he stole from us. We need to be able to trace this money. And if we can't trace it, it's evidence. And we're going to sit it in the police precinct office. And Shorty was on the news like, yo, my man did whatever he did. He's still a good man. In the the law is taking away what's mine, what I earned. Oh, my God. I felt sorry for Shorty because, like, you lose three. You gotta kill me to take 3.7 out of my pocket, nigga. But then I'm like, you kind of had this shit coming, because why the fuck you ain't hide the cash, baby? Why you ain't hide the cash? I know it's a lot to hide, but damn it, I'm put it in the air ducts or something. We got more victim shit. My man, LSU, well, not LSU star, but Alabama star, my man, Henry Ruggs, used to play for the for the Raiders until he was speeding and he killed that white lady and her dog. He could be getting out of jail in like 2 years.
Indeed.
I feel like son just went to jail. We've been potting a lot. We got 4 years in. This nigga went to jail during our pod, and he's about to get out in like a year. He'll be 27 years old when he gets out of jail. Is he going back to the NFL?
Fuck no.
Is it because he killed the dog, or is it because he killed the white woman?
What? You going to get us
killed? Listen, you know.
Damn.
Maybe it's the combination of the two. You killed a dog and a white woman. We don't hold nothing holier than that.
Man, he's a black man that went to jail, like, period. He's not Michael Vick, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel, like, one of the most prolific quarterbacks the league has ever seen, you know what I'm saying? Goes to jail at the height of his career. Like, Henry Ruggs was a slot type of dude. Like,
he was fast.
Yeah, but fuck that. Nah. His shit is way more egregious than Vic's shit. Like, he, you know what I'm saying? He truly affected a family. So, nah, I can't see a scenario where he gonna get another chance. Cause it's a thousand Henry Ruggs every year. Like, you as a franchise ain't finna, you know what I'm saying? Like,
the backlash from it is gonna be crazy.
You're not dealing with that, bro.
And big wide receivers ain't
backlash. I ain't gonna lie, cause we seen what he did. Obviously, he was worth the backlash.
Yeah, but it was no videos of dogs. You know, they had a couple of them where they was taking them out of their burial spots. And, you know, white people never watched that. But they had the video of son in the crash. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes it a death sentence for him. But I also think that when he get out, he's going to get in front of a camera. He's going to talk about his struggles with alcoholism and how he don't have that no more. And boom, boom. I think he's going to make the attempt. And I think a team is going to have him come work out just to kick the tires. But as a wide receiver, like you said, it's 1,000 wide receivers. I don't think that there's anything that's so unique to him to where the risk reward is worth it.
He finna get his ass dusted. He ain't even finna. It's over with, man. Like,
he wasn't running routes in jail,
bro. Over. Like he needs to accept that. Like if he come, I think the best thing for him to do is just accept it. I mean, I know it's gonna be hard. Obviously, he probably don't know nothing else but football. Like, this was his plan of making it out, and for a moment you did, you know. But hey, you know, I can't see a scenario. Like, I ain't trying to shit on him. Like, it would be nice to hear, I guess, like, still, like, he turned his life around after that and, you know, somehow got back into the league, and that would be a great redemption story. And I'm not opposed to hearing it. I just think realistically it's going to be just too much of an uphill battle.
And you just can't, no team wants to face that kind of backlash. You're going to have people outside picketing, like, niggas, the same shit niggas was dealing with Deshaun Watson. They was mad as hell that Cleveland gave this nigga a job. It will be way worse for Ruggs. I like my entertainers to lie, right? I'm big on entertainers like lying and like getting off some lies when it's like reasonable. But like The Game, Bow Wow, them niggas lie too much. And now it's on their jacket. And I think they just kind of troll a little bit more. I found the king of liars. And the king of liars is actually the king of R&B. Bobby Brown. Robert Buford Brown.
Jesus.
That nigga is a liar. So at midnight, Club Shay Shay is going to drop the interview he did with Bobby Brown. But I was digging and I found some good promo. And Bobby Brown said that he was in a car when he came back home early in his career. He was in a car and 178 bullets were shot into that vehicle. And he didn't get scratched once.
By the grace of God.
Go the fuck out of here.
Yeah. You had a friend that was fatally shot. He was sitting in your Bentley. Do you remember that moment?
Yeah. I'll never forget that moment. Never. 178 bullets was in the car.
178? Damn.
And I didn't get scratched once.
Hold on. They fired 178 rounds into a car. And not one bullet touched you.
Not one bullet. That's how I know I got somebody watching over me.
Yeah. There are a lot of your mom and your dad, a lot of people praying for you, Bobby. That's unheard of.
I don't even think that's the worst lie son has ever told. I think he wrote a book or some shit. And he talked about growing up in the house that he grew up in, his mom dealt with drugs and he was frying chicken and he fried chicken with cocaine.
That's how he was starting his addiction early and shit, huh?
Boy.
Man, my nigga. And you know what make me bad with niggas like liars like that, right? You know they number one comeback that they gonna say to you that's just like super bulletproof too? Was you there? Was you there? I'm just saying, like, I was there! You wasn't there! You like, bitch, it's unrealistic though. Like,
you talking like you know everything, but was you there?
Was you there?
I was there. And my man, rest his soul, he was there too. If he was here, he would be able to tell you, but he gone. He not with us no more. Nope. But was you there? Hand the God out. Hand the God of heaven.
Niggas, and it's just like, it'll get deeper. You'll be like, well, what the police saying that? You don't think the police lie? So you're trying to say the police don't lie? It's like, damn. It's like, just let it go. Yeah. You just gotta know, Bobby. Who the fuck are you talking to?
Listen, frying chicken and coke, I was just like, I don't even think the chicken gonna take in the cocaine to where it can be fried. Like, You put the chicken in, you put the flour in the brown bag. You put the chicken in the brown bag. You wrap the bag up and then you shake that hoe. Like, how much coke? You had a brick and you just said, I'm gonna put chicken in the brick.
Pretty much. Like, I'm bored. And he said he did this with his mama shit. So like, knowing she didn't have no fucking brick.
I just want to know what the chicken tasted like, because chicken skin my favorite part of the chicken. I just want to know what the chicken tasted like.
Man, it tastes like regular chicken, because the story is not true. Like, Bobby Brown is fucking Bobby bored. He's out here just like, damn, I'm finna tell some legendary stories right now and shit. I'm bored, like. That's this shit is new, man. Like,
this shit gonna be fun tomorrow when he sit down with Shay Shay. I know it's gonna be some bullshit stories being told. And I wanna say Shannon is low key making like a comeback. But I don't know if it's really a comeback or if he just has better people to sit down with. Like he did Damon Wayans. And that was like a two-parter.
That was a great one.
I'm like, this is good. Because I never hear from Damon Wayans. So I like seeing him up there talking. But then I'm like, damn, he was up here with Marlon Wayans too.
Yeah. I mean, he getting them all, though. Shannon getting them all right now, bro. Like, ain't nobody not sitting on that couch right now. Like, he fucking the new Johnny Carson or some shit. I don't know, bro.
Yeah, he's got I think he's the Joe Rogan in his lane.
Yeah.
Especially because a bulk of the people that is sitting down with him is comedians.
And heavyweights. They still just like heavyweight people, like big followers, big followings, and yeah.
It's not Joe Blow from down the street. No, nigga, we got Andrew Schultz.
Yeah.
We got fucking Cat Williams. We got Monique. I do think the Andrew Schultz joint was good, but I liked it better when he sat down with the dudes from the Pivot.
But yeah.
Because Ryan Clark had that smoke for him. And he said, hey, man, I made a joke about domestic violence. And you beat me up for it. Did you know you interview people who were the attackers? Like, did you know that you sat down with people who committed this same crime that you beat me up for making a joke for? And then Ryan Clark was just like, yeah, but we talked about it, but they wanted to take it out of the interview. Like, Ryan, he got you, bro. Just put your hands up and say, you got me. Touche, my nigga. And I like Ryan Clark, but I did enjoy watching him, thinking he was going to have that good old gotcha moment. And Andrew Schultz was just better researched and ready to speak to that point. Also, Andrew Schultz had a little comedy special on Netflix, 4 hour. Good joint.
Was it?
It was a good joint. You don't like white comedians?
I didn't say that. Please don't. Please stop trying to push it on my jacket this week. like Jesus, bro. I didn't say that. No, I just recently heard about dude. Honestly, like I've never really like heard of him. No, I actually fuck with a lot of white comedians. My favorite would probably obviously be Jim Carrey. But I definitely I fuck with Robin Williams stand-ups, George Carlin.
Do you fuck with any white comedians that are still alive?
Yeah, just name one, Jim Carrey.
That nigga ain't doing nothing funny.
I mean, he don't have to, but like
that nigga autistic now.
I'm trying to think current white comedians. Probably not though.
No, you gotta listen. Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer, Shane Gillis. Like it's some whites out there with the comedy specials, and I turn that shit on and be like, I wonder if this is gonna be funny. Geeked up. Like Shane Gillis shit is funny. I watched his shit the other day. And I was like, this shit is, like, son's low-key racist. So this is, like, it's white boy humor, but it's funny. Like, it didn't even feel like a stand-up. It felt like he was just, like, trying to work out some material. But that was, like, the whole special. Good white boys out there in the comedy world. You just gotta, you know, get that Eddie Winslow up in you and turn on Netflix and they all right there. Then your algorithm going to change and they're going to bring you all of their specials. I watched one for Tom Segura and next thing you know, it gave me like 12 more. I was like, golly, this nigga in depth with Netflix specials.
Yeah, it's probably not gonna happen, but
that Eddie Winslow gonna get it done every time, dog. Yeah.
Eddie, get, I'm more of a motherfucking Eddie Kendricks nigga. Fuck, like I'm never gonna be a Eddie Winslow nigga.
Trust me, the edible, I got some 300 milligram joints, some 500 milligram joints. And I'm taking it. I got the Visine right next to the edibles because my eyes going to be dry and I'm going to be fighting to stay awake in about 30 minutes. And for that 30 minutes, I need something funny to be on or something with special effects in it.
But don't get me wrong. I fuck with the slapstick white boy comedies. Like, I fuck with them heavy. The American Pies, the Stepbrothers, the, you know what I'm saying? I fuck with those movies heavy, bro.
I need my white boy humor to be very crass. I think that's a big part of my problem. Like if it's like, you know, just real shtick and waka waka, like some Three Stooges bullshit, like I'm gonna turn it off. Yeah, American Pie, throw me the whole series on. Like let me find out. I got all four or five of them, the good movies, somewhere. I'm going to be sitting down, and I'm going to be watching this for the rest of the afternoon. Step Brothers, fucking...
Classic.
The Campaign. That's a sleeper. I put my brother onto that a couple weeks ago.
The Campaign, what's that?
It's Will Ferrell and the fat nigga from The Hangover.
Oh, when they was
running for governor or whatever
or some shit.
That shit was the hype, and I don't even remember. Like I remember seeing that shit in the movie theater, and I remember laughing hard as fuck. And I was like, "This is why I don't see comedies in the movie theaters." Like I was giving it up. Fucking speaking of the Wayans, I think it's Damon Wayans' son. He did a movie called Let's Be Cops.
I think I've seen it. I might have seen it, but I know he... Who was in it?
It was one of the Wayans boys, some white boy that I ain't seen since. He was funny, though. The white boy was funny as fuck. I ain't seen him since. And that was it. They did some shit where they was faking like they was gonna be cops, and then they had to really fucking solve a crime type shit.
Okay. But I'm telling you, bro, like it's a couple of them joints that people definitely sleep on, bro. Like definitely The Hangovers, like that's top tier white boy shit. You know what I'm saying?
Old school's a white boy comedy.
Definitely old school.
The Wedding Crashers. Now, you talk about white boy comedy. I can't even watch the nigga Owen Wilson or Vince Vaughn do shit else but Wedding Crashers. They set the bar so high. Every time I see them niggas in another movie, I be like, man, that shit ain't hitting like Wedding Crashers, man.
What I like about Vince Vaughn is that Vince Vaughn got range, though. As an actor.
Do we?
What? I've seen him in like the serious role. You never seen that?
I gotta look this nigga's movies up because the only thing I know he did, I know he did a movie called Delivery Man where he had like 100 kids through sperm donation.
Yeah, that ain't
the shit with Google where they worked at Google called it an intern. Bad Monkey, that's some shit on Apple TV, The Intern, The Breakup. Yeah, he has some range in The Breakup. That was actually good. That was a rom-com. And I think that was might have been like the first joint. Dodgeball, mm-hmm. Swingers for Christmases, the first, Couples Retreat.
The first joint is with John Travolta.
Brawl and Cell Block 99. That looked like some tough shit. Yeah, that's a action crime movie. Brawl and Cell Block 99. I'm going to add that to the list. I need to watch that this evening. Freaky. Freaky was a good little movie where it wasn't necessarily a comic movie. I think it was kind of like a horror suspense comedy. But that was good. That was like some Freaky Friday shit. He switched bodies with another person, like some little high school girl, and he was like a killer. He was like a serial killer, and the high school girl was in his body trying to stop, you know, but it was good. It was a good little joint. But he don't have a whole lot of, well.
I'm telling you, the first one I ever seen was with John Travolta. I can't think of the name of that movie.
Delivery Man. He was in Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Starsky and Hutch. That was my shit. I love Starsky and Hutch. Domestic Disturbance. That's what you're talking about.
That's the one.
He was a stepdad.
Yep.
He was a stepdad, and the kid didn't like him, and John Travolta didn't like him.
He was a killer, too. Like, he had, like, some dirt on him, like, some shady business he was doing on the side and shit like that. But he was, like, you know, he was prominent in that little area, though. Like, people thought he was, like, a prominent businessman, but he had some secrets and shit. It was something. Who was that? I
might have to watch that shit. That's an older joint. He was in a joint called Arkansas that I liked. The whole movie didn't make no sense whatsoever, but I did like that joint. He was a gangster in there, but he got a little bit of range in his joints. Anchorman.
Owen Wilson don't really got that range, but like that Wedding Crashers shit definitely is a classic. I'm just still never gonna be too big on the white comedians. Like,
I think Owen Wilson got more range.
Hell no. What movies you seen Owen Wilson meet other than like, you know, what he is?
He did that movie with the dog, Marley and Me.
Still was his lane.
No Escape. That's the joint you gotta watch. Nigga is a family man with his wife and two kids, and they in like China. And the revolution is starting. And the armies is coming through killing people. This nigga threw his kids from one roof to the other roof.
Shit.
While they was being chased. And they had to hightail it out. It was good. It was one of those survival movies. That was good. Watch No Escape. It's pretty new, 2015, but. Yeah, that nigga got a bunch of comedies in here. The Hall Pass, though. Hall Pass was classic. I might put that Hall Pass on today. That shit is funny. Oh, Behind Enemy Lines. I forgot about that one. That was an early joint from him. That nigga was a pilot in Yugoslavia or some shit like that. And they shot this nigga plane down. And he had to fucking make it to the extraction point, which was a ways away. That was good. But look, I'm gonna get you on to some of these white boy stand-ups. I'm gonna get you on some of these new white boy stand-ups. What else we got going on? Oh shit. I gotta get ready for power.
Uh-huh.
I gotta get ready for power.
Finally on board, my nigga. Yeah.
Listen, man, I said 2 weeks ago, I was like, yo, these niggas got one more episode out of me, and I'm going to just miss the rest of the season. Because that episode before the famous episode pissed me off. Actually, Unique is pissing me off. Unique is really pissing me off this season. And I don't know if it's the writing or just the fact that his character is going in this direction and it don't make no kind of sense whatsoever. How he survived pissed me off. Like, watching them show how he survived pissed me off. But then this nigga has really just been wrong at every turn. Rock took his business. Rock, like, he out here acting like Rock killed him. Nigga, your brother killed you. He got into a fist fight with Ronnie. He won. He turned his back. And Ronnie came through and beat that nigga in the head with a lead pipe.
Okay, but the thing about it, that's why they showed the timeline, right? So the bald-headed nigga that, you know what I'm saying, that came and got Neek, he go do his research. He come back tell Neek, yeah, your brother working with Kanan. All Neek know is that Kanan is a mama's boy. So he thinking Kanan working for his mama. Like, in his mind, he like, oh, damn. And then I run up and see Rock that took over my spots.
Like, working with my Chinese people.
Yeah, she done told me she getting out the game. We fucking and shit. She gonna let me have the streets. She just wanna chill. She got her crib. Neat, like, shit. She let me have, eat my cake and ice cream. That's what he thinking. She know I got a bitch with a kid. But we do us whole time. Neek was probably gonna leave his bitch for her.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, whole time.
I can see that. Cause Rock is a bad bitch, but she's smart. And yeah. She was in the game. Like, Unique's BM is not in the game. She's
I would have went my dumb ass home. What? Rock ass is crazy, nigga. Like, that's why he thinking what he thinking. That's why you can never be with this bitch. You gonna always think like this how she move.
You can't trust this bitch? Like, absolutely not. Absolutely not, sir. You cannot trust Raquel. At all.
Rock will do it to your ass. Like, she a woman that, yeah, she said she want to get out the game, sound good, but whole time that she know, like, that's all she know.
And when she tried, that shit was like an uphill battle. She bought the little hair spot, and then the cops was fucking with her business, and that shit was costing money. Every time the phone rang, niggas needed money to fix that little business. She had to put money in the cop's pocket to get them off of you. And yeah, yeah.
She was going to always get back in the streets, man. So Neek should have knew that. That was a dead mission. He should have been satisfied hitting that little pussy, chilling. They got to look. You know what I'm saying? You got, at least at the bare minimum, you know, you kind of got an ally until further notice. Like, you feel me? Like, you ain't stepping on her toes right now, but you know eventually Rock going to get back into that game, and then you're going to become her enemy again because she can't help but run this shit. You know what I'm saying?
The Asian niggas pissing me off.
Oh, they tweeting.
That nigga just showed up one day and was just like, yo, the price of a brick is going up 20%. Ain't no rhyme or reason to it. That nigga just said, I want more money, so I'm finna get it.
Yeah. Like, it costs to do business with me. Fuck.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this nigga? And then, you know, what else happened that pissed me off? It was some other shit. But he's just like, yeah, they was working with Ronnie and they killed Ronnie. And he was mad about that. And I'm like, bro, you didn't even like Ronnie.
Ronnie did this to you, nigga. Personally did it to you. Rather Rock got him to do it or not. But the reality is, that's the one thing I don't like about this storyline. Cause even if you felt like Rock had something to do with it, right? Like, and maybe he just tweaking, But he know Ronnie did this shit to him, right? Because he told dude, he's like, my own fucking brother did this to me. And then until dude go out there and tell him that extra shit, the reality is, nigga, you got into it with your brother. You personally know that y'all had some words. The nigga was dry snitching on you to your bitch.
Whew. Terrible. That was terrible. That was the worst.
You took my life here, Ronnie.
Yo, I might have called that nigga Ronald on that one. I ain't even being casual. Hey, nigga, Ronald, you fucking up the crib that you was living in. You live with me and my bitch. Don't tell my bitch that I'm over here with Rock. Now we both homeless.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some words were said. That ain't what he say. That ain't no gangster shit. That's bitch shit, man. Joey Badass was acting his ass off in that scene. I ain't gonna lie.
He was very believable until this season. He was very believable, and I think he had, like, some of the coolest. Like, he just killed it when he got camera time.
Yeah. Like, his wardrobe, he represented an early 90s nigga. Like, for sure. Like, you know what I'm saying? A drug kingpin. He had it all figured out. Like, but I still think that's the one thing, though, for me, though. Just that storyline just don't make sense, like, still. Because Ronnie did that shit to you. Ain't no way Rock would have had, because you wouldn't have seen it coming, nigga. If Rock would have did it to you, you wouldn't have seen it coming. You seen that coming.
And they was beefing because he told his shorty about him and Rock. And he was like, you distracted from the game. You distracted from doing business the way we should be doing business because you got your head up in her ass. So to walk away from that in the fight and to think that she just, oh, because I died, she started, this nigga would start working with her. Like, he didn't like her at all. He was mad that she had his territory. Like, he was fucked up about it all. So for him to think that is just crazy. And I'm like, well, maybe we can just blame him being stupid, like, on his brain injury.
No, it's because the reality is, he started thinking again. He like, but this how she moved, though. Like, she did this to, what's his name? Kanan supposedly did. She did it to, not Kanan did. What's
not DEFCON. It was the nigga that.
After DEFCON. That's how she got on. She took over.
But they lit that nigga on fire.
Yeah. Did that to him. Then he remember how she initially did him, had him pinned for the Howard attempt murder.
Mm-hmm. With that jacket.
With the jacket. So he thinking like, yeah, this bitch diabolical. At the end of the day, he not wrong for thinking it because Rock is.
She not trustworthy.
Bro, she not- did it to the other nigga that what was his name? Can he the ball other ball headed nigga?
Oh, Sincere?
Sincere? Cartier or some shit.
Oh yeah, Cartier.
Did yeah, it she this.
But see, that nigga wasn't even like that.
But he had some she needed.
Yeah.
Connect he had, something.
He had to connect. Yeah. And connect. She took him out and then she went to the people that he was that was copping from him. She went to them. And was just like, yo, I took them out. Now y'all buying from me. And they said, psych. Thanks for taking him off the chessboard. We not working with you either, bitch. Like, damn, you catching bodies for no reason. But once you, Cartier didn't seem like a nigga that was going to let you work with him and then choose to not work with him on some cool shit. Like, he slapped up dude. Don't you talk what I'm talking like, oh shit, okay.
I'm gonna fuck his ass clean over.
Nigga had a neck brace on, he had the nose strip. I was like, golly. But Jukebox. And I say this shit every time I watch the episode. I think in real life, the young lady that's playing Jukebox is pregnant or something. Because Jukebox was thick, but she wasn't like, I thought she was thick because she was wearing 3 polo shirts and a rugby sweater and the fucking polo jacket. Like, I thought she was just thick because of that. They are clearly hiding her body this season. She's wearing extremely big clothes, big football jerseys. Like, if Shorty was pregnant, that's just funny because how the lesbian girl on the show pregnant in real life, like, that's just funny. But I do like, I hate that Shorty quit the army after like a week. You know what I'm saying?
They kind of just showing like Steel would make sense though. Like in the jukebox, like character arc, right? Like I could see the military in her background because like that's where she may have learned to be like a shooter, things of that nature, handle herself with the gun or whatever. Cause clearly Marvin never really wanted her to live that life. Like no matter obviously he had a bad way of showing it because he showed her too much. You know what I'm saying? She, that's what she kept saying. Like shit, I'm your child, right? Like it's all I ever known. This drug shit, this killing shit, whether I did it or not, like it's kind of like part of the family business, right? So
she's definitely the opposite of Kanan because Kanan wanted to get in the game
day one.
Yeah, he wanted to be in the game. Like, when he got in, he was mad because like you should have put me in the game in the first quarter
type shit.
Like, and she just never even, she was just like, yo, I'm a scam a little bit. I'm a steal. I'm gonna sell these clothes. And that's how I make my, I'm a booster.
Right. I just want a little shit. You know what I'm saying? Little shit just to, you feel me? Not have to ask my dad for shit. She doing little shit. Like just to avoid being like part of that environment, that family. You know what I'm saying? Like she never was for it. Like she just started being for it after the fact. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the truth. Like she started really
when her story died.
When Shorty died, that kind of changed and made her kind of steal, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the shit she was doing it to try to protect Kanan. Like, just being, you know what I'm saying, his eyes, his extra set of eyes, having his back. It really wasn't like she wanted to be a part of that shit because she didn't want Kanan to do the shit.
Yeah, but she was smarter at it than him. He was eager, but even like when he had the crack, and he was trying to sell it in the park. She was just like, you don't know how to do this? She was like, do it like this. And she like showed him like, this is how you're supposed to do it. And like, she schooled him a little bit because like, it's in her, you know? So
it's in both of them, but it's just more in her at the start because for some reason, I think maybe being around Marvin, she's seen a little bit more than Kanan did. Like, he see it, but Rock just being Rock trying to shield him. Marvin really didn't shield Jukebox.
Yeah, he just come home, put the gun in the couch, and do whatever. He ain't take her out on no runs or nothing, but it was still like, yo, you know, be quiet about family business. Kanan, they tried to raise that nigga like it was fucking fairy tale life. Like, hey, nigga, got a job. Yeah, but that's what But I think her being gay with the girl in season one and Shorty dying, and then when she found out that it was them blue tops that Kanan was selling that did it, and the parents was having beef and going back and forth with the parents trying to say it was her, and her getting close to that gay cop lady. And then when she went out, I think that's when it was just like, all right, she getting colder and colder. Like when her group performed And then she got arrested to get questioned. She was just like, yo, you ruined my life. And then the next thing you know, she beats everything. And then she goes into the army. She leaves for a weekend to go see Shorty. And Shorty dumped her. So she's like, yeah, I'm quitting the army too. And I was like, damn, bitch. Why are you going to quit the army? Because Shorty dumped you. Like, Shorty went to college and was just like, maybe I ain't gay no more. That place where you were supposed to find your gayness, she went to college and said, maybe I ain't gay no more. So then Juke came home, but she found her tribe. She found her people at the gay bar. She caught a body. First body. Marvin want to talk about it. That shit was hilarious.
Because he know firsthand, like, it ain't that easy. You know what I'm saying? He know firsthand. He know. And then it was, you know, you trying to save me, so you felt like you was doing what you had to do, but still, I was doing something for you that could have went left, nigga, could have did it to me.
She carried that shit like, oh, I would have did that if you wasn't in trouble. Like, I would have, I just did that because it's in me like that. And I'm like, ooh, and that's crazy.
It's the character arc.
I do like that. I had to go back and watch who she became, like, as an adult to watch that so I can compare it with the other seasons in Power. Man. She's always been harder than Kanan. She's always been harder than Kanan, bro. Like,
watching, wasn't raised with love. You got to think of that. That's why. Kanan was raised with love still. Rock raised him with love. She loved him. She was babying him. She couldn't have it all, though.
And that nigga with Kanan, like, when he popped Ronnie, I was like, all right, this is a change for him. Like, he's going to be a different nigga. But after the fame shit, now I know this nigga's about to go into that, like, menace mode that I'm going to kill everybody. It's not just about making money. Like, you niggas really got to be scared of me out here.
That's when he finna get into, like, yeah, because, like, he got an arc, too. Juke, just like you said, she started out like she was a tomboy. You know, she kind of struggled with fitting in, not raised with love, not getting that affection from the daddy or the mama, obviously. Really, Rock being that one person that did kind of give her affection. And Kanan always treated her like a brother, not a sister. You know what I'm saying? They just grew up like that.
I forgot about that church shit with her mama.
That shit too. Like, a lot of shit Juke going through is still explaining why she became what she became, obviously, in the later years. She just been, like, heartless. She lost her bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Her mama fucking set her up on a fake date with a boy, then brought her to pray the gate away, tied her to the chair. They slapped her hands with damn rulers.
Made and prayed over.
Ooh, that shit. I was like, she might catch a body this season. I was like, season one, I thought she was going to catch a body then. I was like, oh, this is what made this motherfucker crazy.
Yeah. Like, it was just a lot. So, shit, you know, like, Juke got a strong character arc. I'm really curious about what's going to happen with this nigga Lou. Like, he seemed like dead weight.
Whoa, 100%. I didn't think he was going to survive the drinking arc when he was fucking drunk and confessing shit to the wrong people. Like, I didn't think he was going to make it through that. I'm glad he did because I do like his character, but I like his character less and less. Especially now, because he's not even in the game. like he not even in the game. He cried about all them bodies. Like, so clearly we were using him incorrectly because he was really the family hammer. Hey, you don't want this nigga Lulu to pay you a visit because it's over. Clearly that shit laid on him a little bit differently. So now it's just him fucking with the music thing. And as good as it is to kind of mix it up for the show, I mean, what the fuck? He's just fucking with music. And he sitting there with Partisan Fontaine rapping.
Nah, no bullshit. He definitely sitting there with, like, and that shit is, when he tells Partisan, let me raise up out of here before I do some things. It's so cool. Lou's so smooth and shit.
And that nigga don't even know. Like, he's talking to a killer.
Like, for real. Like,
he's just like, you telling me about metaphors and similes, nigga? Nigga, push the button. This is like, really, bro? You talking to, do you know that's, nigga, that's Lewis.
Lewis Thomas, nigga. Marvin's little brother. Rock little brother, nigga.
Like, yeah, like, that nigga is the baby. You hear me?
Like, he's a fucking problem, nigga. Like, the nigga done smoke niggas like you for fun, nigga. Like, it's nothing.
He killed D Wiz, nigga. What? He took that nigga out, had the best night of his life. My strippers, bathroom sex, shots.
Yeah. Let's take a piss, my nigga. Paw.
That shit hurt, too. That shit hurt. I was like, damn, not D-Wiz.
Didn't want to do it, though. Like, that was the hit that changed him. Like, damn, we smoked the shorty. That's Kane's little homie, too. This shit deep.
That's how I know none of them were involved with Fame.
Oh, hell no. Nah.
Like, I think it was Juke. Like, first thought, I was just like, man, Juke did that shit. But I'm like, I don't know. I think it was the cop now.
The dude that was, yeah, that was pressuring him.
Yeah, and then when his mama showed up, hey, man, come back in a week. A week later, hey, man, come back in 3 weeks. Hey, he's not missing. He ran away. He's on the run from the law. Like, bitch, if you need him to close the case, shouldn't it be important to you to go find him too? Like, you sitting on an unsolved murder case, and you got the gun. Like, you want to go find this nigga.
They that's why they said the niggas that they was finna smoke. They said the niggas said it was police did it type deal, and it could have been because he knew a lot of shit. Like, Famous was around, he seen a lot of shit too.
And they wanted Marvin. They wanted Marvin for some shit. The feds wanted Marvin. So I think the cop did it to Famous. It was foul. They had to take my nigga out like that, but Kane is out here trying to get it back in blood. He was moving reckless. I thought he was just going to go to the basketball court and catch four bodies.
Fame was dead weight too, though.
100%.
Dead weight.
Like, he didn't want to fucking, he fucking told, snitched on himself in the rap, but he wanted to do music, but he wasn't really motivated. He didn't really have, he wanted to move out the house because he didn't want to be there with Kanan. You know, Kanan said, if you let my mother in this house, Famous, I'm coming to see you. The way that nigga hate his moms, bro, that shit is great.
It is great. It's like, and I ain't gonna lie, I want to say I relate, but I understand what he said, bro. Like, cause it's like he felt like he was living a lie his whole life.
100%. Yeah, Def Con want that nigga daddy.
Not his daddy. Like, yeah, it's my daddy, really, this police nigga. My mama was his CI. Like, what the fuck?
young CI too. He was getting young CI buns.
My mama.
And for her to just play it so casually that DEFCON was she played that shit like DEFCON. She was like, yeah, you know, DEFCON was left-handed, so it's whatever. It's like, hold on a second, nigga. I'm left-handed. What is you saying, Rock? Like, that nigga was gay.
Everybody knew that, too.
His family did. His brother, when he went to go see that nigga brother in jail, that nigga was like, what you want, nephew? Your daddy was a great guy. He was a stand-up guy.
You got that little package from, you know, I need some cigarettes and shit.
Yeah.
Like, but niggas knew. Niggas knew. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody knew. And Rock played that shit out so smooth because she didn't want to be known as the you know what I'm saying, the police work. It would have been bad for business.
She would have never been able to do half of the shit she did if that was the case. Her shit this season, she's cool this season. I'm really curious about a few things, like what this nigga Kanan is stashing all this money for. That nigga just got the storage unit with the fucking big ass box of money. Like, what is he doing with this money? What is he saving it for?
It don't matter because that little short midget nigga on his ass.
Oh yeah, that nigga's a problem.
He corrupted by Neek. He gonna do some hot shit. Like, I don't know what it is, but he finna give somebody the ups. But Neek done already exposed himself. I don't know why he did, because he should have listened to Buddy. Buddy was telling him, like, bro, you got the best hand in town. You're a ghost. Nobody knows you're around.
Well, he did it so that he could get the plug, because the mob nigga, you know, he went to Shorty that Marvin killed at the christening, the mob guy. He went to her. He said, yo, I know who did this to your peoples. They got your son and your husband. That's crazy. Don't you want to get back? So she redirected him to the other mob nigga. And he's just like, yo, I can't beef with Tony Danza. And if I wanted you to beef with Tony Danza, then we need to talk turkey. Like, what's the business going to look like? So that nigga, what did he do? He went. He got all his jewelry back. He got some fly clothes. And he went to go see his people. I don't think it was a great move. But at the same time, shit, you done killed her, the truck part of her business, the delivery part of her business. And you robbed one of the stores. So you kind of made a dent in her work. The Chinese dude's not fucking with her no more. Marvin killed the other Chinese brother. He killed the responsible Chinese brother.
Streets need a body.
Hell, yeah. that nigga Marvin just having problems with his anger management again. That's what that is. After that white dude did what he did, Marvin, every time somebody get in an argument with Marvin, you can see the wheels spinning. It's only going to be a second. You get disrespectful with Marvin, he just going to shoot you.
I love his character arc, though. Like, he went from the irrational, non-thinking brother.
The fuck up.
Yeah. Like, but I'm the big brother though. Like, I'm really the nigga that started this gangster shit in the family. But don't nobody respect me. Lou got more respect than me. Rock the boss. You know what I'm saying? Now he kind of went from that to being, you know what I'm saying, Rock's low key right hand man again. You know what I mean? And on top of that, like, He is becoming a better father. Like, he do care about Juke now. He see where he went wrong. Even though in his mind, right, he looking at it like, and I can relate to him on that, right? He looking at it like, shit, like, nigga, I'm a single daddy. Like, how many niggas out here got full custody of their shorty, bitch?
Yeah.
Like, real shit, though.
I remember, I think it was, like, the first episode when Kanan was just talking through the family, like, yeah, this is my Uncle Lou, blah, blah, blah. And when he talked about Marvin, he said, if it's a way to fuck something up, he gonna find it and do it. Like, that was all he was good for. He's gonna fuck something up. And to see where he's gone from season one to now is really, really fucking cool. He don't fuck up. Like, he executes at a high clip.
At a high clip.
At a very high clip. He had, when they had the Carter building, he was running that. He was nice to the nigga in the wheelchair, and the nigga in the wheelchair saved his life at the end of the season. When it was time to go make that hit on the mob boss, he put on the post office outfit and he went and handled business. I think his progression throughout the show has been good. I also think he dies first.
I think so too. I think another thing that's going to shape Juke into what she is. She clearly going to have to lose him too. The only man she probably gonna ever love type deal besides Kanan or some shit like that, you know, besides the typical niggas in her family. But like, yeah, that's gonna, you know what I'm saying, be the reason why she become even more ruthless.
Yeah. I think he go first. And I'm trying to figure this shit out. Like, I know that 50 probably wants to go 3 more seasons with this. I don't think they should. But I honestly don't think any of them died this season. And Rock, I believe Rock is still alive.
Like in the Power Universe?
Yeah, because when Kanan got out of jail, he said he went to go see his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, Rock's still alive. So she made it. But maybe they forget that even happened, and they kill her off too.
Type.
But I know Marvin's going to die just because of how Juke turned out. I'm pretty confident Lulu's going to die too, on some get back from Marvin type shit. Like, Lulu's got to get out of here. But I don't think it happens anytime soon. And I think dragging that part is going to make coming back for another season, to me, a little bit more difficult.
I think whatever they do, what would be dope is whenever they know that last season coming, they do like a flash forward, right? Where you get grown 50 for like an episode, like that last episode, or maybe that last season. Maybe that's the way you bring Ghost back. Type deal, you know what I'm saying? Like, get this nigga Omari Hardwick to shave all his facial hair off or some shit. You know what I'm saying? 52, all they ass do it, right? Like, cause I could see that scenario too, for them to pull it off, like, where they show them, like, how 50 went to jail, how Ghost set him up, some shit like that, you know what I'm saying? Cause they need it. It's time to bring young Ghost and Tommy into this situation. Like,
that's like, all everybody keep asking for. And
at some point, you gotta bring them.
You do, but it's gotta be further in the future than where they at right now, because 50's got a little bit of age difference on him, and he was in the game when they was just getting off the porch, and they was youngins. So like, Ghost and Tommy was the age that Kanan is now. And I think Kanan's just got to be a little bit more older. I also think some of those people got to be missing. But I do think that's a good idea to introduce Ghost and Tommy on some, you know, oh, yeah, I found these kids that's going to be my runners. This might work out well. And then, like, he schooled them for a little bit. And then they, you know, up. In their show, it's more of a, you know, hey, we work for Kanan, and hey, I'm sick of working for Kanan. We got to get this nigga out the paint.
Yeah, type deal. Like, I think it's going to have to be some gradual shit. They could do a time jump, right? No matter what, because we don't know still the past is still unknown with these characters. So it's not crazy for them, because right now I think it's like 91, 92 or some shit like that on the show. So like around the time it seemed like Ghost Num would come into his life would be like 95, 96, somewhere in there. Like in that time frame, because the power like started in 2014. And they kept up with the timeline throughout the show. Like he wasn't like they didn't. So I think it's, I don't know. I think it's a lot of things they could do with this shit. I personally think he can bring back all these characters, like, cause he can still bring back Ghost in a alternate world because it's power. It's just right now we see the public beef between him and Amari Hardwick where we don't see that happening.
Yeah, nigga. Nigga complained about not getting paid a little bit too much. Right? Like, it's... Well, I'm not going to say he complained about not getting paid too much. I don't think he fully framed that the situation. He didn't add the context to it. Like, nigga, you wasn't getting paid, but you wasn't doing nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Like, what else was you doing? Next Day Air? Like, I got you because I seen Next Day Air, my nigga.
No bullshit.
Like, hey, take these shorts and go get you a movie deal. And raise your own rate. Like, that's basically how 50 was playing it. You can ask for more money. I'm not going to give it to you because nobody else wants you. And he knew that nobody else wanted him because even though he was on Power, you never saw him in shit else. A Tyler Perry movie or nothing. Like, golly, boy, you ice cold out there. I took a risk on you so I can pay you just like it. Now, I think before that last season or two, he probably should have paid him a little bit more. But, I mean, fuck it, bro. But he definitely should have went about that differently. And, you know, 50 is 50. So maybe you don't even go about that at all.
Oh.
Maybe you just keep that to yourself and you say, hey, Power was a great show. It was a great chapter of my life. It was a great body of work. And I'm doing different things now.
Cause he at this point, like, he beefing with every fucking body, bro. Like, he beefing with the funneries. He's beefing with, you know what I mean? Like Ghost, like, who is like the face of the Power universe, no matter what. Like, so Raising Kanan is like his best shit right now, because the Tommy shit, we all know this from the end. Like,
that might be a sign on what it's like to do business with 50, though. That might say more about him and his business dealings than anything else. And before you get in that bed with him, just know it could get ugly.
Oh, for sure.
But I'm gonna keep watching. They got me locked in. I like seeing young Kanan out here, young Juke. I like seeing her and Marvin and all the shenanigans that niggas is getting into. I'm still trying to figure out where this shit is going this season, but this week's episode is gonna be good.
And you try to make it a temple, my mother?
You talking to my mother? Snaps and Pop. I like how they just snuck these niggas in the show.
The old school gangsters.
With the matching fits.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do nothing all day but sit at the bar.
Chill.
And like he said, mailbox money. They just fucking walk to the mailbox and there's money in it. They not even in the game no more.
They just investors.
They have some money. They put a couple niggas on, and now you gotta pay. Now you gotta pay. Pay the piper. Cool. But I like them because that old school gangster shit really lets niggas know, like, don't come out your body talking to me reckless. We shut your whole situation down.
Fact. And you won't even see us coming. Because you worry about these other niggas. We going to come get your ass right now. Don't worry about it.
We get you together real quick. Like, I like that shit. I was like, oh shit, look at Bunk. My man got a new life out here.
Like, Bunk before the badge.
And I remember seeing that fucking, that picture that they took in the club where everybody was dripped out. The nigga had the boat captain's hat on and Ronnie sitting there looking fucking like a dun dun dun. And I remember seeing that picture side by side with the actual picture. And it was, like all the New York gangsters that everybody knows, but Supreme was there with 50, and 50 was in the picture. And I was like, damn, this nigga 50 really just made Raising Kanan like a TV show version of Get Rich or Die Trying
type shit.
I'm like, that nigga's a genius.
50, we all know 50 don't tell too many, like most of his shit just be exaggerated truths, but it's still truth in it. Like, it's yeah. Just his version of the story for the most part.
He not telling Bobby Brown stories. But he'll put a little bit of sauce on it for the sake of entertainment.
Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine. Whose world is this?
It's yours.